Wow. Well, have y'all heard the angels sing today? All day long? Christ is with us. We're at the essence today of what this whole thing is about. If you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ's salvation into your life, you know what? I pray that God's just going to clear a real clear path in you today where you'll know this, that God Almighty loves you so much that He came to us. He wants to be in your life. He wants to forgive you of all your sin, and He wants to connect you to heaven. Now, that's the message. That's the gospel message. And so, really, when we look at Christmas at Hillview, if you're going to hang out at Hillview, you're going to hear about this all the time. We believe there is a cross. So we don't believe that this is a myth. You know, we had those signs come out, you know. It's a myth. I don't protest those signs. If you want it to be a myth, then guess what? That doesn't change what it is. See, I'm going to help y'all. Don't ever get upset at atheists. Don't get upset about that. That's what they want you to do. Guess what? The Bible tells me that there'll be some that believe and some that choose not to believe. They choose not to believe. Now, my question is, what happens to you if you choose to believe? Well, absolutely, that's the good result, isn't it? How many of y'all glad to know the end result of Jesus coming to earth is that you and I get to go to heaven? Is anybody excited about that today? That's absolutely what's going on here. That's what really happens. I mean, that's the end result. Chris, I'm glad to know this isn't it, aren't you? This isn't the last part of the deal. The hope of heaven is among us. That is the birth of Christ. That is the birth of Christ. But we're at the essence of this thing. It blows people's mind. So simple, yet so complex. So simple, but yet so detailed. Guess what? This message changes everything. God loves us. Not we love each other. Not our love will make a difference. Not love. God loves us. See, a lot of people say, well, love changes a lot of things. Love will make you feel better. You'll feel accepted by a certain group of people. You know, yeah, it'll go. No. God loves what? That changes everything. I mean, I'm glad to know God loves you. Well, just so that you can be an angel, remember we've worked on that. We need to be a little more angelic this Christmas season. We need to be a little more shepherd-like. We definitely can always use some wisdom and be more like the wise men, the wise women. See, I believe not only were there wise men, but I believe there was wise women because behind every, or really ahead of every wise man is a wise woman. Amen? That's coaching him along. Amen? I mean, that's just the truth. Sheriff, if it wasn't for Marilyn and Jesus, we'd be out of luck. That's what, did you thank her this Christmas for getting you elected again? Because that's what really happens. We look at you and we look at Marilyn and say, well, he's got something going on. Amen. Isn't that the way it works? God loves you. Now look at your neighbor and I want you to tell him, God loves you. Because I want this to sink in. Come on, y'all think it's simple? Now, let's think for just a moment about Christmas. What are the things that really light you up about Christmas? If you think about it, it's the simple things. It's already started at our house, man. One of the things, I am a peanut butter fudge addict. I mean, I need to go to 12 steps of peanut butter fudge. I need to say, hello, my name is Steve. I am powerless over peanut butter fudge. Now, I've noticed that this year, just so I don't get so out of control through the winter season. Used to, I kind of have this rhythm in my life. I kind of expand in the winter and try to shrink back toward the spring and the summer. What's happened, old Mr. Stahl, is my shrink back has slowed down. How many of y'all got a little shrink back slowdown, you know? So now I looked at one summer and Clancy taking a picture of her mother and I on July the 4th. And I looked like Honey Bear. I mean, my neck was sticking out, and I looked at my swim shorts, and I had some extra stuff in here. And I realized that was Christmas peanut butter fudge. Still with me in July. Man, it's a simple thing, but you know what? If Elizabeth didn't make that peanut butter fudge for Christmas, I'd be missing something. My Christmas wouldn't be exact because every Christmas I have what? Peanut butter fudge. And I know I'm going to get some custard. Well, I don't drink custard any other time of year, but sometime when it's Christmas, it's a simple thing. It's just custard. I mean, I don't know what it is. It's custard. What is custard? Just custard? Okay, it's custard. I don't know if it's some kind of special blend of something. Now, I'm just talking about straight custard. Don't y'all let your minds wander a little bit in there, all right? I know some of y'all saying, I wonder if the preacher puts a little in his eggnog. Now, if you know if the Lord put it in there, you went in Rome. But no, I wonder what happens. God loves us. See, it's a simple message that changes everything. Does that make sense? God loves us. Now, I want you to go with me for just a moment because Jesus is trying to teach us in everything he does. Do you realize that? Jesus is the absolute teacher. He is the Savior of the world. He's the King of kings. He is the ultimate revelation of love, and he is the essence of love, the identity of love, and the definition of love, all wrapped up into the same experience. I want you to know that this Christmas that we celebrate on that first moment and in that first moment, the first moment that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God in flesh, breathed in oxygen from this dimension, he exhaled love. And for 33 years, there was a breath of breathing in this world so that he could exhale the reality of heaven to this world. God loves us is very simply this, that God is love and that God has come into our lives so that we might understand love. Now, men, I want you to understand this. Love is not some Hallmark card. Ladies, it's not some syrupy, sappy, you know, kind of. We've made it like that, though, haven't we? Especially when I'm working with men's and men's ministry, doing a men's conference somewhere, and I got to speak on love, you know. I look at all the men and go, well, man, is this guy going to go daisies and petunias on us? No, that's not love. In fact, love is not soft at all. It's bloody. Love is bloody. Love is not just a kind word that makes you feel good for a moment. Love is a divine cross wherever dropped. That hits the ground, provides the redemption of all of humanity. God's love goes deeper than our understanding. It transforms more than we could make possible. And in fact, his love does this. It makes what we can't see visible. God's love allows what we can't see to become what? Visible. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes, wasn't he? He was wrapped up. You know why he was wrapped up? He was wrapped up so that you and I could be unwrapped. Now here comes the Christmas challenge. First of all, I'm going to encourage every one of us today, if you've never received the love of God, to receive the love of God. You got to receive it. Remember, we've kind of changed Advent this year. All these Christmas junkies running around saying, it's about giving, it's about giving, it's about giving. I've kind of flipped that on you this year. No, it's not. It's about receiving, remember? You got to receive the hope of God. You got to receive the peace of God. You got to receive the joy of God. And, you know, you get those three things going on, and then what's going to happen? You're going to begin to experience the love of God, aren't you? The love of God is naturally going to be a part of who you are. Now, even though that's a simple phrase, it has powerful results. Think about this. God loves us. So when we receive the love of God, guess what happens? These things automatically happen. You know what? People that love, let's just check this out a minute. If those of us who follow Christ would unwrap God's possibilities, how much would change? If those of us who truly follow Christ would unwrap God's possibilities, how much would change? Because, you know, those who love, you know what they do? They clothe the naked. They feed the hungry. Chris, you don't have to ask them to go to the prison. they're there sharing hope. You know what else they do? They give encouragement to those who are discouraged. They welcome those who appear to be strangers. I'm telling you, love has a natural response of restoring human beings. True love. It seeks to restore. Now think about this for just a moment. Jesus was wrapped up, wasn't he? And they wrapped him in what? Swaddling clothes and laid him in a what? And as Jesus was being wrapped up, in that first breath, he started unwrapping us. So this Christmas, for just a moment, I want you to think, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Come Friday or Saturday, what will most of us be participating in at least one or two times? We will be what? Well, most of you are in what process right now? Wrapping, unless you're one of those Martha Stewart, real responsible Christmas people who already have your gifts, you know, in a decor placed exactly, packages leaned and stuff. That's not the way it works at our house. It's kind of a manufacturing process toward the end there, Christmas Eve, and all gets piled under the tree. And then we start to what? Unwrap. I mean, now, don't go all holy on me for a minute. Just be honest. I'd rather for you to be honest and pretend to be holy, because you're not. And I'm not holy. Oh, holy night is what? Chaos. Well, it's definitely chaos. You're right, Chris. It's chaos. But in fact, I think probably they had a weather forecaster in Bethlehem that was, his name was Elijah Allen, and he was forecasting. I'm just kidding. Why? You know, we're going to unwrap. How many of y'all enjoy unwrapping things? Come on, you enjoy unwrapping things. Clacy enjoys unwrapping things. And when she was a kid, she just, I mean, it was a process. Next, 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 next. She just goes through her whole pile. And then she goes back and see, really, to experience what she's unwrapped. How many of us do that in life? We're so busy unwrapping so many things that we don't even know how to use the things we've received. And how many of us are sitting with the possibility in our lives of so many unwrapped things? How many are going to participate in Christmas like this? Here's the message of God before us. Most of us will have a tree of some type, right? And if we don't have a tree, that's all right. I've been trying to get rid of our Christmas tree for 26 years of marriage. And it's still, I got to drag one up. Get artificial one now. They weigh 500 pounds, so you can have the reality of a real tree. You know, and here's you get the tree set up. How many of y'all going to sit around a tree and stare at the gifts on Friday night or Saturday? Now, why don't we do that? Let's just set up the tree and stare at the gifts. Or better yet, Coach, you know what we can do? We can make up some songs about the gifts. So we can just stare around a tree and sing some songs about the gift. And better yet, Reverend Shane, you know what? Let's study the dimensions of the packages and the points of the ribbons. And then let's start dividing up. Because we could divide looking at the gifts. How many of you all wrap and it looks good? I mean, you wrap presents. I mean, you all are like, you know, wrapping aficionados. You have your corners are real nice. You got a little, I can't wrap. In fact, sometimes I don't even have to put tags on my packages because my wrapping is my identity from who it's from. You know, I watch those ladies over there. You know, like, now if I got to do a nice present, I just go over to the department store, you know, where they have gift wrapping. And those ladies in there, they amaze me because they take those and they'll go. And I'm trying to watch them to get some techniques. You know, you get that long corner that comes in like that. You know, you get that long triangle corner. You know what I do? I just tape mine down. Now, you can set that on the bottom, and the top of the gift looks good. Now, the back's a little rough, but the top of the gift looks good. I've seen some people like that, haven't you? I mean, you turn them around, turn them side, whichever, you know. I don't rap real well. But now Elizabeth, she's a perfect wrapper. You know, her, all her little corners are just right, and it looks like a little package. You could, you know, looks like Hallmark. Mine looks like Hallmark. Hers look like Hallmark. You see, I mean, there's some differences in these packages. So, you know, Reverend Reynolds, what we could do is we could divide the groups between those who can rap well and those who don't rap quite as well, couldn't we? And just look around the tree and discuss the gift. In fact, we could join there once a week as an annual ritual to our week and just get around a tree and sing some songs and discuss the possibility of this gift. In fact, we could even push it one step further and even create us some institutions to learn in even more detail about the gift. We could call them seminaries or cemeteries and discuss the gift. We could even train professional gift announcers who give commentary on the gift and its possibilities. How many of you all would celebrate Christmas like that? Or maybe a deeper question is this: how many of you are? That the gift is simply an object of possibility and not a reality of living. Go with me to 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. We got to unwrap it. And we got to receive it. And when we unwrap it and we receive it, guess what bursts forth in our lives? A full and abundant life that can only be made possible by a babe who was sent to us by an almighty God who was born in a manger and then changed everything else. Born in a manger that changed what? Everything else. You see, guys, I don't want you to miss it. And, you know, I'm kind of getting a little crazy. I mean, crazier. Let me be more defined. I looked around and I looked at Elizabeth. I looked at me and I was like, well, look at my kids. And they come home from college now. And I remember when we used to, you know, have like fun toys around a Christmas tree, you know, place he didn't get, you know, clothes that boys like. And, you know, we didn't have those kind of Christmases. You know, they had like, you know, Barbies or, I remember Polly Pockets. I remember that era of Christmas where there was little bitty dolls that were scattered all over the floor. So that when you walked across the floor barefooted, Polly would walk up and stab you in the bottom of your feet. Yeah, I remember those Christmases and they're gone. Wow. But the gift that made all those Christmases is still in motion. Because he's personal. He doesn't sit under a tree, nor will he lay in a manger very long. In fact, did you realize at the first breath at the manger, that was the first breath toward the cross? You see, when Jesus was born, he came to save. How many of y'all are glad that Jesus came to save? His very first breath was about the salvation of humanity. I get criticized a lot by my professional colleagues. They say, "Harris, all you talk about all the time is being saved." I go, "Yeah." I go, "Yeah." And I said, "What you gentlemen fail to realize is that your behavior modification program is never going to change anybody's life. I can tell you right now, no preacher ever made me not do what I wanted to do. And I heard all their rules and regulations from the pulpit. And guess what I did on Friday night, Shane? Not what they said. Anybody else had that experience? I heard what they were saying, but that didn't change me. But can I tell you what changed me? There was a baby born in Bethlehem who grew to be the Savior because he was the Savior. And that spirit that joins with the human spirit, that loves that human spirit so much that its sins are forgiven and its destiny to heaven is confirmed, that'll change a human being. Hello? That'll change a human being. That'll change a human being. Not a preacher, but who they're preaching. So today I hope you get unwrapped. They wrapped Jesus up And you know what he does? He unwraps us. I mean, y'all glad to be unwrapped from your sin and released to your possibility. Now, this is Christmas. I want you to think about it all week. I got some activity for this week. How many of y'all are already wrapped up in Christmas? Worried about getting this done and that done and this done and that done. I'm going to ask you to get unwrapped. I'm going to encourage you to be unwrapped. I'm going to encourage you to allow God to unwrap you to the possibility of his love in this day. Pretty cool, isn't it? Unwrapped. Jesus has got this rhythm. They wrap him up, and he unwraps everything else. They wrap him up in swaddling clothes, and he unwraps the shepherds, the intellectuals, and the angels. Brenita and Raj, you wrap him up, and he unwraps the world. Then you know what you do? You think you can finally wrap him up. As soon as Jesus was dead, what did they do? They wrapped him up in death clothes. They tried to wrap him up again. How many of you all are getting this? They're always trying to wrap Jesus up. And on the third day, early on a Sunday morning, it wasn't Christmas morning, it was Sunday morning, the first day of the week, at the beginning of all things, this is the day that changed everything. And this day was connected to the first breath in a manger in an unlikely place where Jesus exhaled heaven into this world. Amen? He exhaled heaven into this world. Early that morning, Jesus got up. The Spirit unwrapped him. He had been wrapped, not in swaddling clothes, but in death clothes. The Spirit unwrapped those death clothes. And I love the Gospel of John because you know what Jesus did? He folded them. Significant. I won't go into all the detail, but he folded them. Now, how many of you all see a lot of folding going on at Christmas at your house? My grandfather used to fold his wrapping paper. I was intrigued by it. It could take him an hour and a half to 2 hours to open a present. But it was done with the precision of a surgeon. Folded, laid by his side. It's exactly what Jesus did. He folded the grave clothes, laid them there, and stepped into the world to unwrap us forever. Pretty neat, isn't it? So how many of y'all need to get wrapped up so you can get unwrapped? You need to get wrapped up in the love of Jesus so that you might be unwrapped to the gifts of God in your life. Hillview, I really want to encourage us. Guess what? We've only opened a few gifts of God in this church over the last 20 years. We definitely have arrived. That's for sure. How many more things is there in this church to be unwrapped that God has given? Man, thousands. And so I hope that we don't celebrate the birth of Jesus by staring at the tree, looking at the gifts that surround it, discussing their possibilities, singing some songs about them. I hope that we unwrap those gifts and we take the gifts, the precious gifts of God out, and we receive what they have in store so that we too might be a part of exhaling heaven into the world. Why should we do this? It's because this is the way God shows love. Look what he said. He is love. And in just a moment, you're going to have an opportunity to, guess what? Receive the love of God. Now, how many of you are going to do that? Or are you going to say, well, man, that's pretty cool. Wrap, unwrap. Let's get that going on. Are you going to really let Jesus Christ come into your life? Because I got some good news. He desires to get into human beings. How many of y'all, that's good news to you? Anybody that shakes you is good news? I'm glad God didn't say this. I'm glad God's not like Santa Claus. What a judgmental dude. He's checking to see who's been naughty or nice. Now, I'm at Hillview. How many of y'all really fall into the nice category? Scott Gregory, you would. You were probably a good cooperative child. I mean, you have been, you know. Chris, if it's sunny, 85, you're in the nice category. If it's 8 degrees, you're out of here. Huh? How many of y'all are really nice? If God was like Santa Claus, I don't know anybody that deserves Christmas. But God's not. God said, not only have I checked the list, I know the list. I know who's been naughty and nice, and I've determined that nobody's been nice. But I love you so much, in spite of, I'm coming on. How many of y'all, that's where love is? No matter what, I'm coming through. Oh, let me preach for a minute. Is that not the message of God to this world from the first breath to the exhale of heaven in the resurrection? If there's no room in the inn, I'll find a manger. And if the big wigs won't come see me, I'll tell the shepherds. And if the preachers won't preach, I'll get the wise men. I will find a way for my message to unwrap the world. That's the power of God. And I'm going to tell you, church, the world is waiting for us to get into the gift and away from the tree. I'm afraid the cross has become a symbol of our faith instead of the reality of his love. No greater love has a man than this, that he would lay down his life for another man. We have men and women doing that as I speak today. They are laying down their lives for other human beings. We have seen that in history. But ultimately, there's only one that laid down his life for all mankind. All humankind. And that is Jesus the Christ. 1 John 4:9 says this. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son. Isn't this incredible? His one and only what? Into the world that we might live through him. How many of y'all are living? Well, open the gift. Open the gift and live. That's the message of Christmas. Open the gift. Unwrap the gift. Unwrap the gift of God's love. Unwrap the gift of God's hope. Unwrap the gift of peace and joy. Let Jesus unwrap you. Isn't that cool? Because what the world thought impossible, God made possible. So you know what? I know God is going to win. I already know that. I believe that. I don't get upset when I see a billboard. This is a myth. All right. Then may that myth reign in your life. The reason I don't have to doubt that it's a myth is I know the reality of his love. Intellectually, I'll always be in a discussion. Musically, I'll just have to sing the song. Structurally, we can arrange the gifts in many different ways and locations and structures. But when you receive the gift, you'll walk like the shepherds. You'll sing like the angels, and you'll think like the wise men when you open the gift. Aren't those the three things we need to do? Don't we need to follow like the shepherds? You know what the shepherds did? They just do what angels say. They said, go to Bethlehem. Zigzag and Bubba over said, all right, feed's over, let's go. And they took off, they shepherd on in.
Then you had the angels. What were the angels doing? Singing. I don't know about y'all, but this is encouraging to me that in heaven there will be music. How many of y'all glad about that? I tell Scarborough this all the time. I tell them, listen, you still got to work in heaven. They sing up there. There's no mention of any preaching in heaven. Now, Scarborough's response is because there may not be any preachers in heaven, is what he said. He said, pastors of praise and worship are probably saved. Preachers are questionable. He said, there may not be any preachers in heaven. That's why there ain't no preaching. But I know this. There's no preaching in heaven because there's no need for the preaching. Because preaching only leads you to the gift. After you receive it, you don't need a preacher when you're in the presence of the Savior. That day's coming. Amen? And you know what? It's going to surprise us just like this Christmas day did. In case you're anxious about Christmas, let me let you in on something. Nobody was ready for the first Christmas. It snuck up on them. They were out of time. They didn't have time to get a gift. They were nervous. There was no room in the inn. The world was too crowded for Jesus. And he came anyway. And this is how we know that God showed his love among us. That he sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. This is love. Not that we love God. Let me pause just there, because some of us get so impressed that, hey, you know, I love God. Well, great. That's as far as that goes. I really want to help you with something. You and I do not impress God. I hate to humble us all, but we don't impress God. God doesn't go, wow, Ayers, you read a book. Because guess what God says? I wrote it. He doesn't go, wow, you can take a boat across the water. He said, when I come across water, I don't need a boat. I can part the seas. What you deem impossible, God says, I make possible. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. That's the package. What we deem impossible, God makes what? Because here's the mystery. It's not that we love him, but that he what? Loves us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Merry, merry, merry Christmas. Whether you've been naughty or nice, Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem, walked a life exhaling the reality and the gifts of heaven. We, with our sinful spirits, crucified God on a cross. But 3 days later, the greatest unwrapping of all human history happened when Jesus Christ rose from the grave and said, I'm not a myth. I am not you. I am here for you. I am the Son of God. I am the King of Kings. I am the great counselor. I am the beginning and I am the end. But most of all, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. And as soon as that unwrapped Jesus, as soon as his foot stepped out of that tomb, all of humanity became the possibility to be unwrapped from their sin and to live in the great gift of God. Merry, merry, merry Christmas. Lord Jesus, thank you for wrapping and unwrapping. Thank you for sending. Thank you for receiving. And thank you for being with us always. Amen. What are you going to do? The tree has been set. The gift has been unwrapped. What are you going to do? Some of you in this room today, listen. I feel the Spirit of God. How many of y'all feel the Spirit of God here? You say, well, that surprised me. God messed with me. Well, good. You might be his Bethlehem today. You might be the guy or the gal that says, you know what? I never thought I'd follow Jesus. Well, maybe you hadn't heard that Jesus has been following you. So you got to get your stuff straight. We don't go find God. We don't go do that, Jack. You know why? He's not lost. God's not lost. I am. God's not lost. My whole generation, they were so impressed. They thought God was so impressed with them because they started seeking God. They'd all quote this verse. Seek and you'll find. You know why? Because God's already been looking for you. He saw all of us long before we saw ourselves. And here's what amazes me. And he loves us. Wow. All the crazy tricks we pull, and guess what God does? He what? Loves us. I mean, y'all today, for the first time, maybe some of you for the first time, maybe some of you need to re-energize. You need to say, Lord Jesus, come into my life and forgive me of my sin. Now, don't make that message trite. It changes everything. Literally. Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my what? How many of y'all got any sin? Any of y'all got any sin? Other than the pastor here, y'all got any sin? How many of y'all were good at it? I was good at sin. In fact, I was on the side of the list. Casual sinner, good at sin. I was good at sin. I even liked the sin I participated in. How many of y'all liked the sin you participated in? They used to tell me at church, you know, well, sin ain't fun. I said, well, come with me on Friday night and I'll show you sin pretty daggum fun. See, you can't lie in church. People lie in church. Yeah, sin is fun. Problem is, death is not. Then you read on over Scripture, it's not sin is bad, it's sin is deadly. Jesus said, I've come to the world that you might have what? Come on, there's some folk today, and there's going to be more folk than you think today because God's on the loose. He's been unwrapped. He wants to come into your life. Why don't you tell him today, Lord Jesus, today I realize I'm a sinner. I know that I've messed up. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my what? Sin. And guess what will happen? Do that, and you'll start hearing, angels we have heard. Huh? On high. Because in a real way, you know what happens when we're saved? We become Bethlehem, a place where Jesus has decided to be born again. Not in a manger, but in me. So today, if you've never done that, come do it. Now at 12 o'clock, 2 o'clock, and 6 o'clock on Christmas Eve, which is Friday of this week, we will be holding baptismal services at 12 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 6 o'clock, and before or after if you need be. You know, if we have 4,000 or 5,000 baptisms, we'll have to start at 5 o'clock in the morning to get done around 9 o'clock at night. Now, I'd love to see Pastor Reynolds pass out in the baptistry, just exhausted from baptizing people, wouldn't you? Wouldn't y'all love to just drag old Jeff out of there? Come on, Jeff, you're wiped out. Next. Then we'd have Shane parachute in, and he'd take care of the next 1,000. Now, hold on. Y'all got it. I'm telling you, Hillview, we got to start dreaming like that. Amen. We think, Wayne, you've seen some people get baptized that you didn't think were going to get baptized. Me too. I'm one of those for a lot of people. Any of y'all surprised anybody that you're following Jesus? That's what I love about Hillview. People will walk in, they go, they go to church. I go, not only that, they're saved. Jesus changed them. I don't know about y'all, but that's the love of God. Nobody's out. Everybody's possible. What do you think, Doc? Isn't that true? Everybody's possible. Everybody's possible. So I'm going to invite you to come and receive Christ today. I'm going to invite you to come be baptized today. Say, Lord, we want to get baptized. And listen, if you want to be baptized, would y'all help us out a little bit? If y'all will come and tell us about it, it's a whole lot easier getting it ready for you. How many need to come and just thank God you get to live this life? Christ truly loves us. So I'm going to ask you to stand, and we're going to make decisions. And God's already made his decision. He was born in Bethlehem, died on the cross, has risen from the grave. He will change you. Can anybody here give testimony that God will change you? Anybody give that testimony today? Well, guess what? Chad, we've set it up. Christmas is here. Debbie, Christmas is here. And so for just a moment before we give this prayer release, this altar is one big living room. There's one present under the tree. It is the salvation for humanity. Now you're going to sing a song about it. You've heard some words about it. You've even looked around the room and seen that it will affect a lot of different kind of people. But now are you going to receive what Jesus Christ has given? Lord Jesus, today, I pray for those who need to just receive your love and your grace, your salvation. I pray for those who need to take that next step and be baptized. I pray for those who just need to come and say, God, thank you for waking me up to who I am in you. Unwrap me to your possibilities. Unwrap me. And so, Lord, we just pray that this altar be yours, that it be a surprising work today of your grace. In the name of Jesus, amen. In the name of Jesus, we're going to invite you to come forward. If you want to pray and talk, our pastors are here. They're going to pray and talk with you. And so right now, come on, especially if you've just asked Christ into your life, we want to talk to you. If you need to be baptized, we want to talk to you. Come on, in the name of Jesus, amen.